Hi, good morning, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you very much for today, Lord. Thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. And thank you for everything that you have done for us, Father God. Lord, I pray that, come, Holy Spirit, come and anoint my tongue, Father. Whatever I speak, whatever comes out of my mouth will be of you, Lord. And anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it will not register in the minds of people that are listening, Father God. Jesus, come and have your way with us. Amen. Hi, good morning, everyone. So today I'll continue to share from the Upper Room Discourse in the book of John. Today we'll read from John 15, verses 1 to 11. I've shared from this passage before, and as I was preparing, I had this sense that I should share a similar topic again. But this time mainly focusing on the heart of the Father and his love for us. And I pray that it will speak to everyone that is listening. So let's turn our Bibles to John 15, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Amen. So chapter 15 starts right after Jesus and his disciples finished the Passover meal. So the last words Jesus said in the previous chapter was to get up and let's go from here. So now everyone has left the upper room and they start walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would pray, he would sweat drops of blood, and then eventually get arrested by the soldiers. As they were on their way, Jesus continues to teach, and this teaching will continue in this chapter, chapter 15, and then in 16 and 17. So on their way to the garden, they would have passed by the temple, and most likely is where Jesus was speaking to the disciples at this moment. I've shared from this before, but as they will be passing by the temple, they will see two large iron gates which led to the temple's courtyard. These large iron gates, which were overlaid with gold, had images of large clusters of grape and wine, which were also overlaid with gold. It is thought that construction cost for these gates alone is equivalent to today's $12 million. So you can imagine the grandeur of these gates. You may ask, what is so special for these grapes and wines? The imagery could be hard for us to understand. You may be thinking, huh? Why would Jesus suddenly talk about the grapes and the wine? But for the disciples, it was a very powerful symbol with a lot of history. If we read the Old Testament, God has used the imagery of vine and the vineyard before to illustrate his special care and special purpose for the nation of Israel. God has brought Israel out of Egyptian slavery and planted them in the promised land. giving them a mission. Israel was supposed to be an example where the nations around her were to know God and to make God known to those in the world. Like in Isaiah 27, verse 6, Israel was to blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. But Israel failed. Time and time again, they failed. So whenever you read about Israel being the vineyard or the vine, it is always displayed as a disappointment and a failure to achieve what they were supposed to achieve. Jesus, by stating that he is the true vine, was telling the disciples that he will be doing what Israel could not do. He was going to create a community based on him. He was going to make the Father known around the world. Then he goes on to talk about the vine dresser imagery, and used it as a metaphor for the disciples on how they should continue their ministry once Jesus has gone. So as I said, I want to focus on and talk about the heart of the vine dresser in these verses. Or as we know, and Jesus also referred, that he was referring to the vine dresser as God the Father. So in verse 2, Jesus talked about how the vine dresser deals with these branches. As we read, we can identify there are two types of branches, one that bears fruit and one that does not. Jesus, just to clarify, Jesus here is talking to the disciples. So the branches talked about that bear fruit or not is also talking about believers. As you can see, Jesus called himself as the vine and those that are in him. So who are the people that are in him? It's us. It's the believers. So this is purely addressed to believers, the disciples, and the church. And then at first glance, when we read verse 2, it could sound quite harsh. The vine dresser will take away the branch and does not bear fruit, or prunes or cut off those that bear fruit. It sounds like a vine dresser is always holding a pair of scissors and ready to cut off anything that he sees. Or may give you a feeling of, okay, you can't bear fruit, you didn't achieve your KPI, I'll take you away. Or okay, you bear fruit, but it was not good enough, I'll cut you off. If we read these verses, we may think that God is sitting on his throne, ready to punish anyone who is not producing. One of the impression for people that don't know Jesus yet is quite similar. For some reason, God is always angry and always angry at them. And this is a misconception. And that is not the picture here or the impression that Jesus is trying to give. How do we know that? So understanding the meaning of the word takes away and the word prune is the key to understand and clarify some misunderstanding of the heart of the Father represented here as the vine dresser. The word takes away in the original language is arrow, spelled A-E-R-O or A-I-R-O. And it literally means to lift up and elevate. The idea is to loosen up something that has been waited upon. Few other places where the same word is used are in Luke 17, verse 13, where it says they lifted up the voice. And in John 11, 41, where it says Jesus lifted up his eyes. And in both verses, the same word arrow is used. So during the time of Jesus, the way grapes were grown was very different than it is done today. Today, their vines are planted in evenly spaced rows. There's also a wire trellis supports the vine so that it'll keep it above the ground for the ease of caring of the vines, for the ease of harvesting. And the vines seldom touches the ground. In those times, it was different. Grapes just grew and would spread out on the ground, So you can imagine, the whole ground could be covered with grapes, the leaves, the vines, etc. Due to that, as time passes, some wine will be covered with soil, mud or dirt. That would cause the leaves unable to get enough sunlight or other nutrients. And these mud, dirt, or soil will stop the nutrients from reaching the branches. And because of that, the fruit-bearing ability of this vine starts to reduce. The branch starts being choked by external circumstances. Then as the vine dresser would be walking around the vineyard, looking at the fruits, checking them up, and when the vine dresser saw such a thing, then he would come and lift up and elevate the branch which has been covered in mud or dirt. As the vine dresser lifts up the branch, he would remove the dirt and elevate that branch in order that it may start getting sunlight and getting more nutrients and start bearing fruit again. The vine dresser here does not destroy the branch that does not bear fruit. He lifts them up. He cleanses them and elevates them for the purpose that the branch was created for. And the purpose of the branch was to bear fruit. So we know the vine dresser here is referred to God as the Father. So now my question, how different is it from our understanding of this verse? Do we see an angry vine dresser who comes and takes away whoever is not bearing fruit? Or we see God as a caring vine dresser who comes and lifts up those who are struggling, downtrodden, or covered with mud? And I do hope that this simple example can help all of us to understand the Father heart of God and clear up some misconceptions or misunderstandings. His heart is never to cut us off if we don't bear fruit, but to help and to lift all of us who are struggling or can't seem to get our lives back on track again. Father God is always here to lift us up, free us up from dirt of this world so that we can continue to achieve the purpose given by God. Father God is not here to destroy. He is here to restore. Okay, so that was the Father's heart for those who does not bear fruit. But then there's a second part of the verse 2. And it says, prunes the branch, or purge, as some translations may read. You may be thinking, okay, now what is this about? The one who doesn't bear fruit, you elevate. But the one who does bear fruit, you prune or purge? Take note that these branches are different. They are bearing fruit, but yet the vine dresser still have to purge them? Sounds like an angry and unfair vine dresser, right? To understand what Jesus was saying, we must also again understand the word prune. The word prune here means to cleanse, to remove the irritants for the purpose of bearing fruit, and bring forth more fruit than it is already producing. A vine sometimes produces certain shoots, and they are called sucker shoots. Yep, as the name says, they do exactly what the name suggests. They suck away the life-giving nutrients that are going from the vine to the branch. If left unchecked, the branch will start to lose its vitality, and the whole branch will become malnourished and dies. So in order for the branch to live and produce fruit, these shoots have to be pruned. Now, these shoots tend to grow where the branch joins the stem. These sucker shoots look very similar to the vine and the branches. And because they are grown as clusters, all the debris and dirt can be collected there. So if we are someone who is not a vine dresser or is not experienced in seeing these things, and we just walk past the vineyard, we will not be able to notice or identify these shoots that are damaging the branches. But for the vine dresser, he can see it. And when the vine dresser sees such shoots, he will go and prune or cut off these shoots. So this pruning process is actually a cleansing process. Notice that the vine dresser is not cutting off the branch, but only cutting off the shoots. And by that, also cleaning the branch so that the branch will not be malnourished or dies. The only purpose of this is to ensure the fruit-bearing branch is continuing to be bearing more fruits. And if you notice, in both ways, the vine dresser's main objective is for the branch to bear fruit. The difference was that one of the branch is not able to get nutrients that goes from the vine, which means inside, to the branch, while the other, where external circumstances stop the nutrients to reach the branch. Whether it is to lift up someone who is currently struggling to be fruitful due to external circumstances, or someone who is being suffocated by sin and started to lose the fruit-bearing ability. In both actions, the vine dresser is acting out of love and for the good of that branch. Let this sink in a bit. Is that how we see our Heavenly Father? Is he someone who does things that lifts us up? And if pruning is needed, that the pruning is for our good? Or he is an angry father who will cut you off at the first opportunity or at the first mistake? And as I invite Sterling to get ready to lead us into worship, let's spend some time on how we see our Heavenly Father. Because the way we see our Father can directly impact our fruit-bearing ability. If we see God, the Father, always angry at us, waiting for the next opportunity to cut us off, it will be difficult for us to have a positive impact in the world and bear fruit. In verse 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Remain in me and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can we unless we remain in Jesus. Jesus emphasized a mutual relationship here, and both have to remain in each other. In order to remain in Jesus, we have to understand the heart of the Father and of Jesus, which is anything that he does for us, anything he do for us is for our good and for our benefit. Yes, even if there's pruning in our lives. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us, and may this truth take seed in our hearts. And let's spend some time in prayers, and let us all remain in him individually and corporately.
When the new sin fills all the strips away, and it seems like long just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, but a song in a song. It's not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you look it into my heart. I'm coming back to the arms of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm so grateful for the end of me. When it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. love and understand love. No one could express how much truly deserve. Though I'm with you, all I have is grace. Every single breath I bring you more than a song. For a song in the song is not what you had begun.
Father, thank you for blessing us this opportunity to bear fruit, Lord. Lord, I pray that that everyone that is listening that will be there, will continue to remain in your love, and will continue to bear more fruit, so that your name will be glorified, Father. So that your name will be glorified, Father God, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for being a Father that lifts us up in our times of struggles, in our times of need, and also prunes us when there's things that needs to be pruned in our lives, because those things are causing us to be malnourished or affecting our fruit-bearing capability. Father God, Lord, yes, thank you for being such a good, good Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now let's turn our attention to the prayer focus. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through cancer. Let's pray for everyone that is ill, but is also in need of salvation. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through infirmities. Let's pray for everyone that is going through COVID. Pray for healing and full recovery for everyone. Also lift up the frontline medical workers that are working so hard for all the issues that people go through. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Let's turn to a mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia, Oasis House, Pastor Jenny O. Let's pray for North Korea for open doors for ministry. Let's pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. Also, let's lift up the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. Let's pray for the SP weekend gatherings, Sunday service, the Well, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services and activities, all the classes and outreaches that are happening, and all the meetings. Let's lift up our sisters who are pregnant, China and others. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today at Bowen, Hollywood, Marwan, Southside. Let's pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit will be among them when they meet, and that, yeah, it will be an amazing time. Yeah, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for everything that you have done for us. We want to thank you for everything that you have not done for us to protect us from things that might hurt us and burn as well, Father God. Yes, Lord, I pray that as individuals and as a corporate body, the wider church, Lord, we all will be bearing much fruit. And bear so much fruit that the world around us will see all the fruits that we bear, Father God. Thank you for being the vine, that we can get all the nutrients from you. Your word is there for us to give nutrients to us, Father God, Lord, and also just to lift us up and cleanse us. We want to thank you for everything, and we want to thank you that you bless the rest of the day, the rest of the week, because you are there in everything that we do, in every step that we take. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys, and have a lovely Saturday, and see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.